Okay, so let's dive in. We're looking at something really strange today. Feels like uncovering a buried file, from the Soviet era.
Yeah, 1983, there is this Soviet research team deep in Siberia.
Right, near Almaty, which is like the coldest place people actually live on Earth. Super remote.
Exactly. And they were out there doing research and then they just went silent.
Total silence until that last radio message, which is wow.
It's incredibly killing, isn't it? He's laughing. God, he's smiling too much.
Just sends a shiver down your spine. And this isn't just some campfire story. This is stuck around. People in that area, they take it seriously.
Oh, absolutely. The local warnings are stark. If you hear laughter out there in the snow, you run. Don't investigate. Just go.
Which points to something deeply unsettling. The fear is palpable, even decades later.
And it's tied to this specific image, this entity.
Yeah, the descriptions talk about this tall, thin man. But it's the smile.
Uh-huh. And why?
It's described as unnaturally wide, like tearing his face all the way to his ears. Just grotesque.
Pure nightmare fuel. But it's not just seeing him that's the problem, right? It's the effect.
Exactly. People who see him, they apparently start laughing. But not normal laughter.
No, it's described as uncontrollable. Violent, almost.
Leading to choking, their skin turning purple, chest tightening, like they can't breathe.
And then silence. Just the wind, the snow, and maybe, they say, the image of that awful frozen smile left behind.
It's horrifying. So we have these accounts, the local fear, this disturbing image. What could possibly be going on?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? There are a few paths we could explore, maybe starting with a psychological angle.
Okay, like mass hysteria induced by the environment.
Sort of. Think about it. Extreme cold, total isolation, constant darkness in winter. That puts immense stress on the human mind.
For sure. You're cut off. It's incredibly harsh.
Right. Could the mind, under that kind of pressure, conjure something like this? A shared hallucination, maybe amplified by fear and the power of suggestion?
It's possible. Like the environment itself kind of breeds these fears.
It could act as an incubator, yeah. The survivor of that 83 expedition, his description is key here.
What did he say again? Something about sanity?
He called the creature a crack in human sanity and the laughter. He said it was unnatural, injected into the mind like a virus.
Injected like a virus.
Yeah.
That phrasing is so specific, it feels invasive, more than just seeing something scary.
It does, which makes you question if just psychology explains those physical symptoms, the choking, the skin discoloration.
Yeah, that feels very physical, doesn't it? More than a panic attack, maybe. Could extreme fear alone actually cause that specific reaction?
It's pushing the limits of what we typically understand stress can do. Extreme terror can cause physiological responses, heart rate, breathing. But this sequence, it's very particular.
So if it's not just psychological stress,
yeah,
what else? That virus is coming. Could it be metaphorical?
Or could it point towards something else? Maybe not a literal virus, but perhaps some kind of environmental factor. Something in the air, a toxin, maybe linked to the permafrost, causing bizarre neurological effects, hallucinations, and respiratory distress.
Huh. So a biological or environmental trigger masked by this horrifying figure.
It's another possibility, yeah. Trying to bridge the gap between the psychological terror and the physical shutdown.
And then there's the survivor's last message. Scratched on a wall before he vanished.
Right. Don't laugh, he hears.
That implies awareness, intelligence almost, on the part of this thing.
It definitely pushes us towards another interpretation, doesn't it? Something more paranormal.
Like an entity that's actually drawn to the sound of laughter.
Yeah.
Or perhaps perceives it as a threat or something.
Exactly. In that framework, the creature isn't just a hallucination or a symptom. It's an actual presence. And the laughter is somehow key to the interaction.
So we have these like three main threads emerging. Intense psychological breakdown from isolation and fear. Some kind of unknown environmental or biological factor causing the symptoms. Maybe tied to the place itself.
Possibly.
Or something genuinely paranormal, an entity drawn to or triggered by human reactions like laughter.
And it's possible they're not mutually exclusive, you know?
How do you mean?
Well, maybe an initial incident was triggered by extreme stress or an unknown environmental factor. That event creates the core legend, the terrifying image of the smiling man.
Okay.
Then the power of that legend, the intense fear it generates, becomes a potent psychological trigger itself. So future encounters are amplified. The fear becomes so overwhelming, it does cause a severe physiological shutdown, fulfilling the legend.
A kind of feedback loop. The story creates the conditions for the story to seem true.
Precisely. Fear becoming a weapon in itself. But let's circle back to that smile.
Right. It's such a fundamental human thing, isn't it? Joy connection.
Usually. But here, it's the opposite. It's a death knell. Why? What makes a smile so dangerous in this context?
Is it just the unnaturalness of it? The way it's described tearing the face?
That could be part of it. We're wired to read faces. A smile that's so profoundly wrong could trigger a primal fear response, an immediate sense of mortal danger, far beyond seeing, say, sharp teeth. It signals something fundamentally broken or hostile.
A threat that bypasses rational thought and hits you on a deeper level.
Perhaps. The absolute conviction of this is wrong, this will kill me, might be enough, in that heightened state, to cause the body to react catastrophically.
So the concept itself, the idea of this impossible, deadly smile combined with extreme fear, could potentially lead to physical death.
It stretches our understanding, but extreme psychogenic effects aren't unheard of. The mind's power over the body, especially under duress, is profound.
It's fascinating and terrifying that something seemingly non-physical, like a concept or an image ingrained by fear, could have such devastating physical consequences.
It really makes you think about the nature of fear and sanity, especially in places of extreme isolation. What can the mind endure? And what entities, maybe physical, maybe conceptual, can endure or even evolve in those conditions?
Places where the normal rules just seem thinner.
Exactly. Which brings us back to that survivor's description of laughter as a virus and his final warning.
Don't laugh, he hears. It still feels like the core enigma.
It really does. It leaves you wondering, could this story, this entity, represent a deeper, more unsettling truth?
What kind of truth?
Well, think about laughter. It feels uniquely human, right? An
yeah.
expression of joy, amusement, social bonding.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what if? What if sometimes, in certain contexts, laughter isn't purely human? What if it can be a response to something non-human? Or even originate from something entirely other?
Whoa, like laughter as a signal or symptom of something truly alien interacting with us.
It's a speculative leap, obviously, but this whole account forces you to question assumptions. Could an expression we fundamentally understand as ours
right.
sometimes be linked to something outside? Something ancient, maybe, lurking in the silence that perceives our sounds in ways we can't fathom.
That's a deeply unsettling thought to end on. The idea that our own expressions might not always be entirely our own.
It definitely makes you think twice about what might be listening when you're alone in the quiet places of the world, doesn't it? Makes you wonder about the sounds you make.